All right, here we go. TCU coach Gary Patterson apologized today for repeating a racial slur when instructing a player to stop using that racial slur in team meetings, which led to a group of players to skip practice on Monday. Horned Frogs linebacker Dylan Jordan accused Patterson on Twitter of using the slur during an incident Sunday in practice. Patterson apologized, saying, quote, "I apologize for the use of the word that in any context is unacceptable. I have always encouraged our players to do better and be better, and I must live by the same standards." Apparently, there is no penalty facing Gary Patterson, should there be. Basically, white guy using the N-word.
Yeah. I would think that Patterson, with all the money he is making, would make a voluntary donation to one of the many causes that are trying to fight against stuff like this and to take the heat off him. The same thing happened at Clemson. One of the position coaches repeated the word. He didn't like originate it, but repeated it. And Dabo Swinney didn't do anything except yell at the guy. I think these guys have to take some type of material action as part of their apology, and I think it would go over better. What do you think?
A very smart idea. That would be a very smart thing for Gary Patterson to do, is to make a donation towards some organization that is helping work towards social justice. I mean, the bottom line is, don't use the word. You can't use the word. If you're a white guy, there's no context in which you're allowed to. If a song
and Gary Patterson should know that.
If a song comes on and you know the words, and the N-word is one of those words, don't sing it. Don't sing it.
Okay, so Kanye has a hit song from years ago called Gold Digger.
Sure.
And the N-word's in it a lot.
Gold Digger. That's Jamie Foxx, too.
She ain't messing with no broke N-word.
Yeah.
And so I was playing it in my car, and I realized Jack, my son, was in the car, and I liked the song, so I went back to iTunes and got the
clean version.
And now the only version in my library is the clean
version.
Ain't
nothing but a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can't do it. You just can't. I mean, I don't know how to make the rules any clearer, but if you're a white guy, you cannot, under any circumstances, use that word. There is no context that makes it okay.
All right, Mace. Patrick Mahomes announced today that he has a new endorsement deal with a product called BioSteel. It's a sports drink.
Okay.
You have often said you're not sure you would hire a celebrity endorser, a famous person, to sell your products. And I'm always thought you're kind of right about this. Let's put it to a test. With BioSteel, Mahomes now endorses 9 products. He's the new Peyton Manning. But to your point, I'll let Lindsay and Funch help too. Nobody cheat. See if you guys can name any of the other 8 companies that Mahomes endorses. Give it a shot. Anybody who knows one, just blurt it out.
Beats, right?
Nope.
What about, does he do Body Armor, the drink?
Nope.
No, because he just signed up to do this BioSteel.
I thought maybe that was the same.
But I have a list of 8 companies that are paying him a ton of money.
Does he do McDonald's?
Nope.
Obviously Nike.
Nope.
Doesn't he do a phone company?
Nope.
Oh. Wow. This is Isn't a really successful endorsement string.
Okay, so here is his. Funch, it's not Nike. He's an Adidas guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Adidas.
Okay, he has Oakley.
Yep.
Here's one I thought you
guys
would...
Who is Oakley?
Here's one that I thought you guys would get because he does commercials with Troy Polamalu. Head and Shoulders.
Right.
All right, now here's the other one I thought you would get because he does commercials with Aaron Rodgers. State Farm.
Okay.
For insurance.
Oh, I have seen those.
He does Bose. He does BioSteel, the one he announced today.
Yep.
He does DirecTV, Essentia Water, and EA Sports. But isn't that interesting? And Mace, this has always been your point.
Yeah.
That if you don't remember the product, no matter how big your celebrity is, it's really not doing the job. If you hire, like, I love Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I think he's great. I would love to have him be, like, doing ads for my products. But if people don't remember the products, and you guys, between the three of you, remembered zero, then I'm not so sure it's worth it to have a celebrity endorser. I think your original point kind of sticks here.
Yeah, I think they all blend together. Like, for example, shoe companies. I know they all blend together. I mean, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, I know that's Steph. By the way, that's the one I know. Under Armour is Steph. Everybody else, I assume, is Nike. I'm always surprised when it's not.
Like, Under Armour has their whole entire golf department is based around one golfer. Do you have any idea who it is?
Brooks Koepka?
Nope.
Tiger Woods.
He's a Nike guy. Nope. Tiger's a Nike guy.
Jordan Spieth.
Correct.
Ah, Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth is Under Armour's guy, and that's it. But
yeah, I think there are better ways to get your message across and less expensive ways to get your message across. Get Flo. Just get Flo. Somebody should hire away Flo. She's an unbelievable, valuable person on the commercial market. I know her more than I know Patrick Mahomes in commercials. All right. Here's my Patrick Mahomes question. He has purchased a chunk of the KC Royals. He just hit that huge payday. His dad pitched for 11 years in the big leagues, so spent a lot of time in Major League Baseball clubhouses. Seems like a perfect match. John, if I tell you, you can become a minority owner of any professional sports franchise not in Los Angeles.
Okay, so it can't be the Lakers or the Dodgers.
Correct. What team do you choose?
Okay. I'm trying to think of the combination of that I would win occasionally, that it would be fun. I'm down to two. I'm down to three. All right, here are my three that I'm thinking in my head. Cowboys, Yankees, Warriors. I can't, because I'm a Laker fan, I can't go with the Warriors, so I'll take them out. So it's down to Cowboys or Yankees. I think I'll do Yankees because I think that it would be fun to be in New York and be part of that team moving forward. I think they got a great young roster. And I'd be overshadowed by Jerry Jones if I owned a piece of the Cowboys. So give me the Yankees. How about you?
You know what? I'm also going East Coast, but I'm actually going with the Mets, believe it or not. The Mets are...
You could hang out with A-Rod and J-Lo. If they get the bid.
If they get the bid. The other thing is, they're going to go through a rebuilding, and I think they have a chance to be really, really good someday. Not necessarily right now. Part of this is geographical, right? Like, I wouldn't mind spending time in New York again. I used to live there. Wouldn't mind having a reason to go back. The other team that I would honestly consider, and you'll laugh at this, is the Padres, just because they're close by.
They got that unbelievable ballpark.
I could drive down and go to a Padres game. It would be awkward when the Dodgers played them, but I think that would be an interesting play, too. But owning, if you were to do any Los Angeles franchise, I'm assuming it would be the Lakers.
Yeah, for me, but because that's the team I grew up rooting for the most. You do the Dodgers?
I do the Dodgers, yeah.
Over the Rams, because that'd be a coin flip for you.
Yeah, Dodgers, it would be a coin flip for me. I would say I would nudge Dodgers over at me, Billie Jean King.
Well, you know what's interesting? Peter Guber, who we've had on the show, is a part owner of the Dodgers and the Warriors. So he has conflicting loyalties. He's also a part owner of LAFC. So, he roots for the Dodgers, obviously, but against the Lakers, which is a weird... I don't know. That's why I couldn't be... I don't think I could be a part owner of the Warriors. I'd be too confused.
Yes, you confuse easily.
Yeah, very true. All right, Mace. People Magazine is reporting that the new Bachelorette, Claire Crawley, is being replaced because she's already found love after 12 days
of
filming.
I'm so happy for her.
A source says, quote, "One of her potential guys found a way to get in touch with her, and they began talking. By the time filming officially began, they were basically already in love. No one else stood a chance. It's become so obvious from her subsequent few dates that her heart wasn't in it, and she just wasn't feeling it. Then she said she wanted out."
Well, I thought they're not supposed to talk to each other. Don't they sign agreements that say that they're not supposed to?
Yep. And a girl who was on Colton season, Tashia Adams, is replacing Crawley. Now, I think they should have stuck with the first girl, with Crawley. Even if she was already
in love?
It's the Bachelorette. It would have been way more fun to see if the other guys could break them up rather than bringing in a whole new girl. Agree or disagree? Lindsay, you first.
I feel like if it were the other way around and it was The Bachelor and this happened with a man, they would have let it play out because they would love to see nothing more than a bunch of women catfighting against each other and trying to get involved in the drama. Yeah, they should have let it go. That's ridiculous.
New girl mates or stick with the old girl, even though she's in love with someone?
Go with a new girl. You, I mean, there's no drama if she's in love with the other guy.
Oh, there's drama.
I disagree. I feel like it's 10 million times more drama.
If she feels strongly enough that she's going to give up her moment of cheap fame because she fell in love, she must really be in love.
By the way, Crawley is the girl that's they're replacing has already been on three different versions of previous Bachelors, and this is the fourth time she's fallen in love. And so she was.
She's falling in love pretty easily
after
so
12 days of
filming.
She
could easily fall in love with one of the other.
Exactly.
She's giving up all this cheap fame. She must be in love. Go with a new girl. What's the harm in that?
I have a theory.
What's your theory?
Now, I don't mean this in a offensive or hurtful or anyway.
As soon as you say that, it's going to come out.
Yeah, you do.
It's going to be offensive and hurtful.
Cough it up, lady. What is it?
It's not at all. I think that given the situation, they decided to recast The Bachelorette because of what happened and go with somebody that is more diverse because they've always had the same kind of woman and the same kind of looking bachelor. Everybody looks the same.
Well, Lindsay, there may be something to this. The Adams, the new girl is black. Claire Crawley is white, but they kind of already addressed it because they've already cast the next bachelor, and for the first time ever, the bachelor is a black guy.
Right. So I feel like it doesn't hurt to say, well, you know, maybe this lady isn't really into it anyway, and we were kind of thinking about somebody
might have had something
else
to do with it. Might have something
know
to do with it.
That's kind of what I think.
All right. Funch.
The bachelor world is all you guys. I don't even know.
Hey, Juan is with us. Your partner's with us. He's on top of this thing.
I'm totally watching this season.
Okay. Congratulations.
So is Mason. He just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah. Apparently, I'm going to hear about it. LeBron has done away with his self-imposed social media blackout for the playoffs, something he refers to as Zero Dark 23.
Okay.
Zero Dark 23. That's a mode he's gone into in past playoffs. He says he wants to stay in touch with his wife, his mom, Gloria, his three kids, etc. John, could you survive for any amount of time going Zero Dark Ireland?
I don't think so. It's inconvenient. Why would I cut off technology?
Your mind, to quiet your mind.
Yeah, all I know is you bragged that you were going to do it, and Ramona said two days into your quarantine, you made a fantasy baseball trade.
You were just complaining about the fact that you couldn't reach me the other night. It's because when the show's over, the show's over. The computer closes,
right, but what
the
you're
phone
talking
goes
about,
away.
But what you're talking about is a complete shutdown. You're talking about like an extended shutdown, right? That's your question?
Yes.
Yeah, no thanks.
How long are we talking? Because I actually just did this, and I had no choice to do this last week.
Correct.
Last
you went
week.
Out in the woods. You had no
right.
choice.
And normally, I go camping in Allegheny State Park, and normally where we stay, I could drive like a half a mile or even walk, you know, half a mile another way and get reception on my phone. And sometimes if I have a certain cabin, I'll get reception all the time. Well, this year I changed phone carriers. I have T-Mobile now. I had no reception anywhere. I had to drive 30 minutes into town to get cell phone reception. So I had no choice but to not be connected.
That's good
and
for you.
It was kind of driving me crazy, but
it's
good for me.
It's good for your brain. It's good for your brain to turn everything off.
I agree. I think like the first 2 days I was going through like technology withdrawal, but then once the 2 days passed, I was very relieved.
All right, coming up next for you, Albert Breer will join us from SI, Monday Morning Quarterback. We will. I was stunned to see that that Hard Knocks with the Rams and Chargers starts a week from tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, a week from tomorrow. So they're pretty far down this road now. We'll talk to Albert Breer about that coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
going on. It was a big night last night for the Lakers. Down in the bubble, they beat Utah 116-108. AD with 42 points. He was unstoppable. Lakers versus OKC tomorrow, 2 o'clock pregame, and the tip is at 3:30. Padres beat the Dodgers 5-4 last night. Homers for Jock Peterson, Cody Bellinger, Brister Grotter all took the loss. Dodgers at San Diego again tonight. 6:10 is the first pitch. It's Dustin May versus LeMay Dinelson. Just taking a shot there. LeMay Dinelson.
You may have hit on it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It sounds right.
Right now, joining us from MMQB is Albert Breer. That's a must-read column every week. Albert, yep. We appreciate you doing this. Thanks for coming on, man. How you holding up?
No, I'm fine. Forget everybody else. You know, we're five months in now, right?
Yep, we're all holding it together, man. All holding it together. So I was amazed. We're running promos. A week from tomorrow starts Hard Knocks on HBO. I mean, this thing is coming really fast. Is training camp going better than expected?
I think they're probably happy with the number of results. To be honest with you, I think that they were like the way it was sort of described to me was we're expecting dozens and dozens of positives, right? And I think the number is probably as they see it pretty manageable right now. Look, there are some issues. Obviously, we're still 48 hours out from the opt-out deadline. And I do think that there are some bigger name opt-outs than they expected. The false positive in Detroit, look, that's an issue, that's something that I know coaches are going to want answers on. But outside of that, if you told them the way this was going to play out over the first week and a half, and this was the result, then they would take it. Because I think, at least for right now, it looks like, the issues that they have had are fairly manageable.
You mentioned Detroit. For people who don't know this story, Matthew Stafford, who's probably the most famous Detroit Lion, their quarterback, who's one of the highest paid QBs in the league, it turns out Albert never had COVID. Explain the Matthew Stafford story to me the best you know it.
Okay, so you guys know how the onboarding works, right? So basically, for each of these players, they can't come in until it goes through this 4-day process, right?
Yep.
So they get a COVID test on day 1, day 2, and day 4, and they were allowed to take part in virtual meetings and all of that. But it wasn't until day 5 that these guys are cleared to go into their respective workplaces. So the Lions reporting date was Tuesday, July 28th. Stafford takes a COVID test, passes it. July 29th, day 2, Stafford takes a COVID test, passes it. July 31st, day 4, which is Friday, takes a test. Saturday, the Lions find out he failed that one. And so then he had to go into this process where he had to show, okay, so what he did was he actually went back that day. The Lions had him take another test with a third party. He passed that one. He passed another test, and then he passed another test after that. And, finally now he's been cleared to go back in. The protocols read that you gotta pass, if you're asymptomatic, you gotta pass 2 tests. I believe it's 24 hours apart. The Lions question is now, I think, are more centered on, what would happen if this was like Friday of a game week or Saturday
sure.
of a game week?
Yep.
We lose our starting quarterback and it's all because the testing didn't work. That's a very fair question to ask, guys.
Sure.
I a lot of these coaches, their livelihoods are on the line on a week-to-week basis in the NFL, if you're one of these guys, I think it's certainly fair to ask that question. How reliable are these tests? And are you going to screw up our season with false positives? And that, the other part of that is, part of this is, since they are testing them so often, that's sort of one of the drawbacks, right, to testing guys so frequently is, if the odds are, and I think the number that Dr. Sills, the chief medical officer, gave to the NFL owners was a 5% false positive rate. If you keep testing these guys over and over again, guess what? The chances of getting a false positive are going to go way up. So if a guy is taking 100, like that figure says, if a guy is taking 100 tests and you know, based on the schedule, these guys would get to 100 tests at some point in the season. There would be probably there would be five false positives in there, right? So I think the handling of that part of it is going to be really, really interesting.
Albert Breer is with us for Monday Morning Quarterback, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So Odell Beckham Jr. Did an interview with the Wall Street Journal. Says it doesn't make sense what we're trying to do. I can understand basketball. They're already in the playoffs. Five on five is different from 11-on-11 contact sport. He says it comes down to money. I hate saying it, but the owner's attitude is, oh, we own you guys, and just kind of that unfairness going on that they don't see us as human. Is that a minority view, or do other guys think, hey, this is just about the money and we are putting everything at risk for these owners?
Well, A, he's right. The owners are driven by money. there's no argument there. B, I think because of the experience players have had, and in no area more apparent than concussions and what's happened over the last 20 or 30 years, but the players have a right to be suspicious of the owners and to kind of keep their guard up. Like, there's no question they do. So that's established, you know, and I think those two things, I mean, you look at a situation like this, and if you're the union, you go in, like, looking under every rock to see any sort of corner that the NFL may be cutting to try to make a season happen. That said, I think a lot of the goals in this case were aligned between the NFL and NFLPA. You're not going to have a season if you have a bunch of guys getting this. And so it not only was in the player's best interest, but it was also in the owner's best interest to set up a system that was going to create as close to a bubble as they possibly could. And I think that's why they were able to get a deal done when they got it done. I mean, most of the arguing in this whole thing over the last few weeks wasn't over the health and safety measures. It was over, like, some of the financial stuff, you know? And so I understand where Odell's coming from. I also know Odell knows how to get attention, you know, so it doesn't surprise me that he would, you know, kind of speak his mind on these sorts of things. I'd also say that, you know, once Odell Beckham got into the building, and the one from there was that he started to feel a little more comfortable about it because he saw how tightly wound the whole operation was in Cleveland.
We're talking to Albert Breer from MMQB. By the way, Albert, I follow you on Twitter, and if you're listening, you should follow Albert also. It's at Albert Breer, B-R-E-E-R. And the first time I saw this is when you tweeted it. I was kind of shocked by Joey Bosa's reaction to his contract extension. And you cover the league much closer than I do, but how he got, like, genuinely emotional. I know that, you know, we hear about holdouts and we hear about contracts, and I'm just curious, Albert, how rare is that a guy would, I mean, you could tell it was a genuine life goal of his to get this, and you could see that it's something he's been working at his whole life. How rare is that in your NFL world?
Well, you know, I've been sort of following Joey Bosa since he was 18 years old because, you know, I'm an Ohio State alum.
Okay.
And I've gotten to know, you know, his dad. I did a magazine story on his brother when he came out last year. I think what you saw there, and I did talk to Joey yesterday about this. I think what you saw there was a kid who the world's been expected of him since he was a little kid. You know, his dad was a first round pick. His father-in-law, or his dad's brother-in-law's mom's brother was also a first round pick. And to imagine this, that you're growing up in Miami, and you have your dad who was the first round pick in '87, and your uncle who was the first round pick in '88. And you're playing at a high-profile high school. You went through, you know, the youth system and everything else there. I can't imagine, like, having any more pressure than Joey Bosa had to succeed in football. I can't imagine that there being any more pressure on somebody than there was on Joey Bosa coming up, unless you're talking about Nick Bosa, who also had to deal with.
Right. Yeah, so it's repeating itself, yeah.
Yeah. So I think what it was, guys, was all of that, right? Like, that he, You know, he went to St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale, fulfilled expectations there. Went to Ohio State, where his, you know, where his uncle was a captain, fulfilled expectations there. Then went to the NFL, and this contract was a sign, okay, I fulfilled expectations here too. And that's incredibly difficult to have that to come from that sort of family and check every single box like that. And so I think, as much as everything else, it was probably a kid who knew he had those expectations, and that, like, have his dad's reaction, the guy who kind of set the bar for him, to have that reaction from his dad, I think that's why he's overcome with emotion. I don't think it's the money. I don't think it's even personal accomplishment. I just think it's probably a kid who so much has been expected of since he was a little, since he was, you know, I mean, in grade school, being able to deliver on all of that, and then hearing from his dad how proud his dad was of him.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So everybody knows the story now of Lemon Pepper Lou. You've heard of the Lemon Pepper Lou story, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know what's funny, guys, is, you know, I was making fun of his, like, I looked at that as an excuse. And so I texted with a bunch of my buddies and everything else, and I actually got a couple responses where that, like, the wings really are that good. Believe it or not, yeah. So I got some buddies who lived in Atlanta, apparently the wings are really good.
Okay, so the NFL sends out a memo, and this is, you could say this is the Lemon Pepper Lou rule, that teams have discussed the consequences of contracting the virus through reckless activity away from the facility. That high-risk conduct includes indoor clubs with more than 15 people, indoor bars with more than 15 people, indoor house parties with more than 15 people, indoor music concert entertainment venues with more than 15 people, and indoor religious services with more than 25% capacity. Do you have any sense for, first of all, how is this going to be enforced to keep track of this many guys on a football team? Secondly, do you have any idea what the consequences would be for breaking this
rule? So it's going to be enforced. I mean, it's going to be enforced within these buildings. And, in the age of camera phones and all that other stuff, there's going to be ways for guys to get caught. I actually think the enforcers, and if you guys have the coaches locally on there at all, Anthony Lynn or Sean McVay, I think that they would repeat this. The coaches can tell the players until they're blue in the face not to do certain things. It has to come from the locker room, right? Like, so if Aaron Donald or if Joey Bosa or if Jared Goff or if Tyrod Taylor or like any of those guys, if they're the ones that are passing that message down, it is so much more effective. So, you know, I think in each of these buildings, a lot of this is going to come down to, you know, older players, leaders on the team, on these teams saying, like, you are not messing with my season. And you go out and you do something stupid, we're going to have a problem. You know, and I think that that's so much of this, you know, is that in these situations, I think, you know, coaches are gathering their leaders. You've got to be your brother's keeper here. Like, because, you know, these guys mess up and it's going to affect all of us. And so I think that that's, in every one of these buildings, like over the last couple of weeks, the message from the coaches has been that the most responsible teams are going to be the ones left standing at the end. I also know so many of those coaches are aware that the message is going to be a lot more effective if it's coming from other players.
Yeah, well said. Albert Breer joining us. Albert, last thing. The Rams have a huge opener. It's a Sunday night opener scheduled to be at the new SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, brand new SoFi Stadium.
On September 13th against the Cowboys. I know everything could change between now and then, and I'm completely asking you to speculate, but today's August 4th, so we're basically talking 5 weeks. Does that game get played as scheduled, in your opinion?
Yes. I think it gets played in an empty stadium, which I'm sure isn't what Steve Kroenke. I don't think that's how Stan Kroenke drew it up when he was writing checks that wound up, you know, that wound up amounting to what, $6 billion. But I do think that they're going to be able to start the season on time. Now, whether or not they can finish the season, I can't give you an answer. and I know that this is going to, this is what I've said to everybody. I know it sounds a little bit like a cop-out, but I promise you it's not. I think the fate of the NFL season is in the hands of America. I think if we're doing better as a country in September and October, November, the protocols they have in place are good enough where they're going to be able to get through the season. If things are worse in America in September and October and November, I think it's going to be challenging. And, you know, a huge reason why is because they aren't in the bubble, and these guys have so many touch points. And even if you're being completely responsible, some coaches and players have kids going back to school in like 2 weeks, have wives going back to work. There's so many different touch points, you know, where these things can be spread, and it doesn't even need to be bad cases. You know, like guys just test positive and that's it. You know, you're gone. You can't play until you're able to pass a test again. And so I'm of the opinion, and I have been of the opinion, that so much of the fate of this season rides on how we're doing as a country, because these teams are sequestered by themselves now. You know, for the next few weeks, I think they'll be able to make it to the season. But if things are bad during the season in America, then, I mean, it's going to be a real challenge getting the season finished.
All right. Hey, Albert, thank you very much for coming on. We always appreciate it and hope to talk to you down the line.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
There's Albert Breer. Sounds like they are full steam ahead. I was shocked when I saw Hard Knock starts a week from tomorrow.
Me too. And I'm actually surprised how definitive he was that game on September 13th is getting played. I mean, he talked about how it depends how the country's doing, but he sounded pretty confident, didn't you think?
Yeah, he did. The Rams, by the way, have said that if they are allowed to, and if the conditions are permitted, and if the governor and the mayor and all these people agree, that they could let as many as 15,000 people into the stadium for that game, depending on how things are going.
Yeah, I doubt that's going to happen, but I'd love to see the game, period. Just, you know, the game itself. I think that'd be great.
I want to be one of the 15,000.
Well, I think that you got a shot if they have them. I mean, let's see. I hope you do, because I want to hear, like, tales from inside SoFi.
Tales from an almost empty SoFi stadium.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next for you, I think NBA season ticket holders are getting a very raw deal. Do you know what I'm talking about, John?
No.
I'll explain it next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Damn, I was just looking at, they flew by with a Taco Bell commercial on whatever channel I'm looking at, and that grilled cheese burrito looks really good.
Oh, geez.
Oh, it looks really good.
No, what's your weight at right now? Are you plus what?
I'm plus 15.
Oh, you got to stop eating stuff like that, man.
Yeah,
come
I know.
On.
I do, hey, Mace, I do have to slow
it's
down.
It's really good, Mace.
Is it good?
I had it
don't
last week.
Don't encourage him.
It was really good.
It's got cheese on the outside.
Yes, it does. It does. And little bits of chips inside of it to make it crunch. Oh, so good.
Nice, man. Later on, Funches, after 420, I'm going to Taco Bell.
Funches, you're talking to a guy that gets donuts delivered to his house nightly. Does he
with
really
a side of cream.
Cheese on the outside burrito? Come on, man.
Nice. All right, so, John, NBA season ticket holders, and this is a story about one Golden State Warriors season ticket holder.
Okay.
You right now, the Warriors fans are being asked, season ticket holders, to pay for next year. Now, it's going to be a long time before there are actually events. In fact, they're talking about 2021 potentially being in a bubble. Is it fair to ask season ticket holders to lay out cash now for a season that may not happen or may happen in a bubble?
Well, let me get some semantics covered here. They're asking for an advance, right? They're not going to charge them for these games if the games don't get played, right?
And the rights for plus 2 million sanctions is a long time before events are slated. The current is surging. Yes, they were asked for a chunk. of the cash.
I think that they're just trying to do business.
Yeah, but I mean, the season is unlikely unable to use those season tickets.
Right, but they do this every year. They ask you for money for the following season every single year. This is not an out of the blue ask.
But it's different because there's likely not going to be a traditional NBA season. So you're tying up money on something that you're unlikely to see anyway. And secondly, times are tough, man. There are a lot of people that aren't working. There are a lot of people that are short on cash.
I'd like to hear what the consequences are if I don't pay it.
Do I lose your season tickets?
It's that simple?
Yeah,
you're out?
Yeah, in order to retain your season tickets is what the Warriors season ticket holder says. Yeah. Said, I find it reprehensible that they're billing at this point.
Well, I mean, then you have the option not to renew. I mean, I think that every business is trying to survive. The Warriors are in a unique situation because they own their arena.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Warriors surviving. I think they're going to be okay if they don't demand a chunk of season ticket money from fans who are season ticket holders.
Lemon Pepper Lou talked today.
Lemon Pepper Lou!
You want to hear what he said?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, so he played in the Clippers lost to the Phoenix Suns in the bubble today on a buzzer beater by Devin Booker. Lou Williams played in the game. His quarantine ended this morning. First of all, Lou says he's sorry for what happened. Go ahead and play that part, Funch.
In hindsight, I think as far as a public safety issue goes, I probably could have made a better quality decision. I was a little naive in that aspect. I went somewhere after a viewing of somebody I considered a mentor, somebody that I looked up to, first black man that I seen with legal money in my life. And the funeral home was a couple blocks away from, one of my favorite restaurants. It's been documented how much I talk about this place, how much I eat there. And so I just did something that was routine for me. I frequent that place at that time of day, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. At the time, I thought I was making a responsible decision. After looking back on it, with everything going on in the world and the pandemic, maybe it wasn't the best quality decision. So, I chalk it up as that. Take my L.
What I found fascinating about that was the first guy I knew with legal money growing up. In other words, that Lou grew up in an environment where the guys who had money
didn't get it legally?
Right. I've never heard it phrased that way before.
No.
It was interesting. What'd you think of his... I think it actually kind of stopped short of an apology, but it was an explanation.
I think it's close enough. I mean, I think he serves as exhibit A in what not to do. Don't do what Lou did. And by the way, can I just throw something out here? Okay. So the NBA bubble's going great, right?
Right.
I don't think there have been positive COVID tests. Everybody's playing well. Their games being played, all that stuff. It's not like Major League Baseball. Now, after the seeding games are over, you're allowed to bring your family to the bubble.
I could be wrong about this, but my understanding is once players start to go out, for example, when the seeding games are over, six teams go out. Then you can bring in family members, and then you can bring in additional people. When by the end of this, Mace, there's only going to be two teams in there. So
it has
something to do with the number of people in the bubble. When a certain number goes out, then you can bring people in.
But, I mean, when you're trying to maintain this tenuous situation with a bubble and games being played inside of it and everybody staying safe and all that stuff, inviting a whole bunch of people in seems to be doing the opposite of keeping it safe.
Except that they've, all the people we've had on the show, whether it be McMenamin or Tanya Ganguly or Kyle Goon or, all the people we've had on that have been down there have said that the quarantine procedures are pretty strict. And so everybody we've talked to who's inside the bubble has said that whatever they're doing, it's working. So why couldn't they bring more people in as long as they keep with those protocols?
Well, you see, the more people you bring, I mean, as long as they keep with the protocols, obviously. I mean, everybody's going to have to
quarantine. You just started to say the more people you bring in, the higher the risk.
Well, it is true. The more people you bring in, the higher the risk.
Right, but I don't think they're raising the number of people. I think that when the six teams go out, In other words, there's 22 teams there, only 16 make the playoffs. When the six teams go out, that's when they're allowing a certain amount of family members in. The bubble's capped at a number. They're not going to exceed the number. So does that make sense? I mean, in other words, they're not inviting – they are inviting new people, but they aren't increasing the number of people in the bubble.
I see what you're saying. You're just introducing new people.
Correct, which is risky.
It is. There's a risk associated with that. There are more people, by the way, who – potentially will leave and go shop or eat out or go to a bar or something like that.
If they do, remember we had Woj on the other day and he said, right now I'm limited as to where I can go. As I clear more protocols, I'll be able to go directly into all games and into locker rooms. So as long as they make everybody follow these protocols and they have zero positive tests, which has been the case so far, I would trust them to make this work.
Yeah, I think they should hold up Lemon Pepper Lou as an example.
Well, I think they are.
This is what not to do. And I find that apology or whatever that was to be totally fine.
Explanation.
I like Lou Williams. He's a great player.
Yeah.
Made a mistake. You saw it. The NFL said you're not allowed to go indoors where there's a group of at least 15 people.
What if I get a socially distanced lap dance?
There's no such thing.
Lou had one.
He did not. It's not a lap dance then.
So
he maybe got a
it?
Private dance.
A private dance. I like that.
But not a lap dance. You cannot stay 6 feet away and do a lap dance.
I'm going way back in time, but your AM radio days will help me here. Didn't Tina Turner have a hit song called Private Dancer
for Money?
Yeah, there you go.
So you think Lou had a private dancer?
I do. I think he had a private dancer.
Okay, good. All right, coming up next, seems appropriate, Radio Tinder. Linz has got some stuff for us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is time for Radio Tinder. Linz, what do you got?
All right, guys, we are going to start with what we were just talking about, and that's the NBA. And NBA players are ordering an insane amount of packages into their bubble to make them feel at home. Rachel Nichols spoke with a number of players last week about their Amazon orders because I guess they're piling up out there in the packaging rooms and like they just can't even control it. Udonis Haslam says that he's had at least $5,000 in Amazon orders so far just for himself. One player ordered a full-size fridge complete with an ice maker. Another player ordered a couch. Others are ordering everything from their must-have favorite hot sauce to full virtual reality gaming systems. Is there one item that you guys would have to order from Amazon if you were in the Orlando bubble? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. There are many things I would have to order from the Orlando bubble. Mace, among them, and these are in no particular order, I would have to order a Theragun or a Hyper Ice massager. I would have to order a towel rack so my towels would be warm when I came out of the shower. Yeah, towel warmer, and perhaps most importantly, a mini bar. If I don't have a mini bar in my room, I need one, and I would order it from Amazon.
All right,
I don't need a whole fridge like that one guy, Lindsay, but I need a mini bar.
I'm definitely swiping right. I honestly don't know half the stuff that actually comes into this house. One is the huge Amazon orderer. I will occasionally order stuff, but there are boxes that come and go all the time. He returns tons of stuff. Buys stuff, delivered, tries it out, doesn't like it, returns it. Amazon is good about that. So, yeah, I couldn't live without Amazon. It's my way of getting the stuff I need in a hurry, and with Prime, it gets there in 2 days. So, yeah, Amazon, absolutely.
All right, one other thing for inside the bubble. Disney's live-action Mulan is going to be coming to Disney+. The remake of the 1998 animated film got pulled due to the pandemic, and its release date keeps getting pushed back. Today, Disney announced that Mulan would be available on Disney+ on a premium access basis September 4th for $29.99. Now, I know that we've talked about this before as far as Trolls World Tour, and I think there were a couple of other movies that went straight to streaming for $20.
Yep.
But I wanted to ask you guys, would you pay $30 for Mulan or any new movie right now in these pandemic times? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. If my whole family's going to watch, that's just $10 a person.
Yeah, I mean, I think, boy, I'll tell you, it's so scary right now if you're a movie theater owner. I got so many friends who own movie theaters. And, you know, this is sort of developing now into a way for studios to release their films and never have it play at a movie theater, which is bad news for theaters. As far as paying, I think I paid $19.99 for a movie called High Note starring Tracy Ellis Ross. I actually thought it was pretty good.
I did too.
So yeah, if the movie's right, I'll buy it.
For what it's worth, the same day that they release it streaming, they're also going to release it in theaters in countries where Disney Plus isn't available, and in the U.S. where theaters are safely opened.
Yeah, so but is anybody going to those theaters that are safely opened?
Well, in other countries, there. I mean, like in South Korea, they had 6 cases of coronavirus this week.
I mean, I don't know, maybe if you're in like the middle of North Dakota and they've safely opened movie theaters, maybe you go there. I don't know. And then last one here for you guys. This is an interesting one. I want to ask your opinion. Sam Panda was, this is the woman's name. She was visiting Myrtle Beach over the weekend when a woman reportedly called the cops on her over her bikini. Panda's friend filmed her being detained by the police in the allegedly offensive bathing suit and asked the police what the exact penal code Panda's bikini is in violation of.
Shall be unlawful for any person appearing in the nude on any public beach, beach access in the public waters, or any public property in the view of the public.
I'm not
so
nude.
So nobody's nude.
You're in a thong.
The thong is not nude. He goes on to describe that her parts that are not covered are basically like her butt crack.
Right, it's a thong.
Right. Do you guys agree with the police that this woman broke the law because of nudity? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. She didn't. Thongs are a fashion statement. Girls wearing thongs on every beach in the country. Leave the thong wearers alone.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also going to swipe left on this. In fact, in Venice on the boardwalk, one day a year, they've got, I forget what they call it, the naked parade. And everybody, all the women go topless, all the men, obviously, shirtless. And it's a big protest for topless bathing. If you go to Europe, a lot of countries in Europe, people, women don't wear tops when they're in the sun. So, yeah, I'm in favor of loosening restrictions on thongs.
I feel like this has become a thing lately because I remember like a month or two ago when we were talking about the Karen of the day, I sent you guys a clip of this woman who it was actually the Karen that was videotaped. And she was, MFing this woman because she was wearing a thong bathing suit. And I assume it's because she was in like a different part of the country, because in places like LA or Miami, thongs are totally normal. And I feel like there's just, they're like coming back into style as like a more popular and accepted thing.
Yep.
So it's like, what kind of woman, she's complaining that it's obscene because her child is seeing somebody naked. I just don't get it. Like, what kind of woman has nothing better to do than to call the police because someone's wearing a thong?
Yeah, she's a Karen.
Yeah, totally.
She's a Karen. All right, coming up next for you, Max Kellerman is going to join us. He will lead-in show starting a week from Monday, the 17th. It'll be Max from 11 to 1 and then us from 1 to 4. Max will check in with us next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.